I've gone through a few ideas. And to Jesus' words to the disciples on the Lord's Supper, as we call it, Jesus has explained, he's read them. And in chapter 14, he comforts the disciples. How is it a comfort to be told, if you love me, you'll obey what I command? The Lord has commanded. And so then I question whether I really love him. Because I believe I love the Lord. And yet I know in my heart and in my life, my mind is dragged astray, where I look back at the end of the day and think, do you know what? I should have done that. I could have done that. With, if you love me, you will obey what I command. To be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, there is the one who helps us. The Lord Jesus goes on, have a very direct and important initial meaning to the disciples' scripture, and we understand from this passage that the scriptures are God-breathed, and Paul will later write the case. And I think as we look at Psalm 100 into practice in his life, if you love me, you will obey my commands. The Holy Spirit has brought him to the place where he can practice that phrase. Perhaps you've read it in advance of this evening and you've been thinking about it. And I don't know if you looked at it and at first glance, look upon my suffering. I have not forgotten your law. My life, I deserve to be blessed. I believe that this morning is really helpful. Because instead of that bartering, arrogant David coming to God, more like little Eli, who held him, looked after him, mopped up after him, and completely dependent. But somehow knowing this morning, it was clear he felt comfortable and happy and looked after, positive memories. Not all have them, but many do. Of feeling that blessing that is the answer to his God. He can feel it. You know, as an adult, as a spiritual being, we have the joy of speaking to our God. Little Eli can't, you know, is it hungry? Is it tired? Is it, you know, you can't, you begin to work dependent, still knowing we're precious. And that's where David's coming from. Work out what we read in John 14, 15. It doesn't become a burden to us. We need to be fully dependent. And you'll go one step further with David in this stanza, because we'll also see we need to be fully dependent, contained in the word. And that's the real confidence, and trusting that God will faithfully fulfill the promise that he has given to us in his. Compare the words used in the passage. Let's just look at the first two verses. Look at the words used. Deliver me. Defend my cause. Redeem me. Questions there. Lord, do this for me, please. That's the challenge of them. Your law. It's almost nothing compared to those things, isn't it? I've not forgotten your law, so please do all of this. He said, precious to you, and I haven't forgotten that that's what you've promised. I haven't forgotten. Utter dependency on. And the I look in verse 158, they're the same. We find as we explore the prison and in the middle, we discover some clues to understanding this stanza. So you have the first two lines. This is going to be another embarrassing PowerPoint failure. So verse 153 and 4, you'll need to look at your Bibles now, just briefly. Same in 159 and 160. Look and give me life. And in 158, the ways of the wicked grieve. It's the first part. We read that God's compassion is great. And in 157, and finally we find, sitting right at the heart of the psalm, preserve my life. according to your law. As we pass through the psalm, and we'll start at the beginning with look and give me Exodus. The psalmist is saying, you can rescue me, O God, you are faithful to fulfill your word. Do these things again. Preserve our legal words. They're the words you'd find in a lawsuit. We come to the New Testament and we talk about being justified by faith. Make me right with you. You can wash away my sin. Where we have the second use of preserve, we need to also remember and restore. This is the way we understand the word. The psalmist is saying, life has been put on hold. And the psalmist is saying, set me free too. And here in this one, we find another contrast in the word language for the word love. In accordance with your love, speaking of God's love. Those two words, his love, using words of affection. He speaks of God's love, God gives, the love that's bound by all that God is, all whom he is. And the giving of the covenants, when Abraham was there with God and all that set up for the covenant, and then who moves through? Only God seals the covenant to do it all, even though we can do nothing. He's bound himself by a covenant, says, your love is greater in this measure than my love. Yes, I love you, Lord. Me, preserve my life, therefore, not because I love you, but because you have promised to love. There's no coercion here. The words speak of the psalmist loving God freely. And what grace is contained in the word of God? The last verse, 100 needs. The literal translation is the head of your word. In other words, the chief about God's word. It's true. There you go. God's word is true. For you and I in the 21st century, yeah? Even as it was true for doubtful for living in both of those, but God's word is true, is the overriding statement. So the psalmist says, look and give me life. Father God in heaven. As he states his confident side of the coin, you can't have one without the other. You can't fudge here. The psalmist knows this. Those who turn away from God's word. And he says there's no hope in the way of the wicked. From the wicked. He's not in any way saying the opposite of what we've just read. What this is saying is that the wicked have gone far from God's salvation. If one but would turn round, they would find God waiting right behind them to say, because they have chosen to walk away, salvation is far from. God is here. He's revealed. He says to the world, I am here to show us his love for us, to deal with our sin. And yet from the wicked, mankind is guilty in the way of the wicked. And he looks on the faithless then, the loathing. I find this word difficult. I think as I think of the word aggressive hatred, which is not really what's implied. So that thing that you really cannot bear to do, with all that that means, you know, life red in tooth and claw. And having been to college, trips up the church tower. And I've got a group of 10 primary school kids who I'm unlocked the door at the bottom and I've made sure the bell ropes are out of the way because it's awfully loud if that gets played with while you're up there. And I've got about, didn't smell good. So I said, right, okay, a few more steps. It got worse at the bottom. And I went back up again. I got a little bit further and I worked out what it was as a pigeon. And by this point, for all my background and experience, I couldn't deal with it. I was nearly tower. And to my shame, an 18-year-old, who, as far as I was concerned, one of the volunteers who had him down as a bit wet behind the ears, you know, and I didn't really think he just, oh, really, pigeon? No problem. Up he goes. By loathing. Loathing to the point of turning away from something. Loathing for the point of just cannot bear to be, you know, you ought to have done, because it was my job to do it. I was the responsible adult. I was showing the way. I just couldn't not seek out your decrees with loathing. There's that deep sadness in my heart, that disgust at the result. As I look at the results of their behavior, they don't obey the word, what we see. But friends, let's not forget, it is these very facts to reveal God's love too. Even as we loathe obedience, we must witness to them. And that is seen all. Lord is great. Ties in with word. The reason we change it in English is because we don't use great for and so that's how we catch that parallelism in the stanza. His compassion is as great as his grace is sufficient. His compassion is of that measure. It will to them. Many are the foes who persecute the psalmist. But great is your call. These things become more important. I like the way God's compassion trumps. The psalmist is praying, look and give me life. He's admitted, yet God's compassion is greater. It's more important to talk about God's compassion. To the dedication this morning, this compassion word is that word which speaks how the Lord looks on us. We are his little one. Recognizes the truth in that. How much greater God is than us. The many who go a different way. The psalmist will not turn. 156, the second part. Preserve my life. The heart of the passage. The final view. O God. And here it's teamed not with because it would be good for me or it would be nice. With preserving my life. In preserving my life, God, seem to be true to your word. You, God, are known as effective in the community. So a law in action, if you like. And so what's happening here, your word works. Your law results in good things. What do you think? If you get rid of these people, just keep me and start over again. The psalmist here says, let the world see that you're preserving my life by reviving me, by restoring me, as you would have. He's not asking on the law of God, on our God, forgotten the law, however small that is. It's because God's law lives. He reveals himself to the world to be a faithful God, faithful one.